Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
There was an old farmer who lived by a rock. Sat in the meadow, was shaking his fist at some boys who were down by the creek. Feet in the water, their hands on their marbles and playthings. And in days of yore, they met a young maiden. She looked like a pretty young creature. She sat on the grass, pulled up her dresses to show us her ruffles and laces. With a white fluffy duck, said she was learning a new way to bring up her children and teach them to knit. While the boys in the barnyard were shoveling refuse and litter from yesterday's hunt. While the girl in the meadow was rubbing her eyes at the boys, just like girls sometimes do, to make it quite clear that she wanted to go for a nice pleasant stroll on the grass. And hurry back home for a nice piece of ice cream and cake that stood three layers tall. After dessert, she was ready to go for another walk down by the dock. But then a young man with a sizable roll of 100s and a big bulge up front, he'd ask politely, she'd show him her little pet dog that was subject to fits. He'd reach on over, grab hold of her small tender hands with the movement so quick. She'd bend on over and suck on his soda so sweetly till she finished it. And pull down her panties to rub on her hip that she bruised as she ran down the halls. Cause he tried to force her to lick on his candy so tasty made of butterscotch. And then he spread whipped cream all over her cookies that she had been baking all night. If you think this is dirty, you're f***ing well right.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, November 5th, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. How you doing, kids? So, I don't know what this noise is. 32 degrees, and the wind chill factor, this is in Chesterfield, 27 right now as we record a few minutes before 7 a.m. Central Time here at jcontheline.com. Daylight savings time this weekend, so not only will it be cold, well, it starts warming up. Actually, it's going to be almost 70 degrees on Sunday. But everybody gets an hour of extra sleep, and I don't care. This is how they sell the daylight savings time stuff in the fall. They don't remind you that in the spring you lose an hour. And they're like, yeah, but look at the good part. You get an extra hour of sleep. Well, I got news for you. If I want an extra hour of sleep on a Sunday morning, Saturday night into Sunday, I just sleep an extra hour. I don't need to have to go around to every clock in the universe and, you know, change the time on everything. If that's your selling point, I'm sorry, that's not enough. I need some more value added in this whole thing. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, it helps the farmers. No, it doesn't. The farmers are against it. You know why? Because all the animals have their internal clocks, and all of a sudden, twice a year, the cows are like, what the fuck is going on here? You're getting me up an hour early, or, you know, in the fall, it's like, where is he? He's an hour late. That's a fallacy, that whole thing about it helping the farmers. It was done to save energy costs, primarily during wars. I think it was World War I, if I'm not mistaken. And also, I think it was rescinded for a while and then plugged back in by LBJ. Does that sound right? I probably should have done some homework on this. I'm trying to do all this from memory here today. But don't be trying to tell me that there's some great thing about daylight saving time. And again, it's one of those things where, you know, we have these guys named congressmen, you know, and they could be doing something about it. They've been sort of chirping about the fact that, what is it, 71% of Americans hate daylight saving, right? But a lot of congressmen, for whatever reason, they like it. And so the question then becomes, are you there to do what you're thinking you would like to do, or are you there representing your constituents and you do what we want you to do? Don't answer that question, because we all know. It's how these guys go into Congress with a net worth of $695 and come out with, you know, $45 million. We are no longer living in a functioning democracy. The words of Jimmy Carter, which I have stolen. Again, we have multiple stories about people walking off jobs because they won't get the vaccine. Religious exemptions. My ass, religious exemptions. What religion tells you that you can't get a shot to try to end a world pandemic? If that's your religion, if there's actually something in there where they say, oh, and by the way, don't get a vaccine. I'll tell you, I was raised Catholic. I had 8 years of Catholic grade school, 4 years of an all-boys Catholic high school, and I don't ever remember anything in the Bible or anything anywhere else, for that matter, that says, oh, and by the way, praise be Jesus Christ. Good morning, Sister Patricia. And by the way, don't get a flu shot. Don't get a vaccine to end a global pandemic. My religious exemption. Oh, speaking of idiots, by the way, I should probably get this out of the way because there's a lot of people who aren't on Facebook. I posted this yesterday, but here's the story. We have a couple of regional embarrassments. One is, well, I probably shouldn't say their names as I'm thinking about this. One guy is known for jumping up on stage and dancing, primarily in U City. Okay? That guy. And it's amazing that the Riverfront Times and a couple of other publications, but especially them, because the RFT, you know, has always painted itself as, oh, we're so alternative, and if it's popular, we're against it, unless it's popular with people with blue hair and about 15 staples in their eyelids, then it's cool. But if it's generally accepted, it can't be any good. Which is absurd. Of course, there's always room for, and for that matter, a necessity for a segment of any population to sort of be on the fringe. And a couple of newer ideas and do stuff that a lot of other people won't do in that general society or whatever we're talking about. So it's always good to have some artists and musicians and philosophers and things like that, and people who are sort of on the fringe of stuff, saying, you know, that's cool and everything, but have you thought about this? Or better yet, you just do it, and then people see it and say, yeah, that looks pretty cool. The next thing you know, everybody's wearing the same kind of clothes, and now the alternative people are like, well, you can't wear that anymore because that's mainstream now. So the RFT has always come off as this publication that's like, you know, oh no, we know better. We know better. We're so much smarter than everybody else. And yet they will tell you that this dancing freak is some sort of regional treasure. They do these polls all the time, and the RFT and their minions will put this guy on the top 5 or top 10 list of regional curious assets to the community. In the meantime, everybody else can just go to hell, I guess. I'll add this other guy who is generally seen down the right field line at Cardinal baseball games holding up giant placards with really, really stupid sayings. Go Cardinals. Did you see the movie Big Fan, Patton Oswalt? And he would always call the sports talk radio stations and have these overwritten attempts at jokes and puns. They're not clever sayings. They're stupid. By the way, this guy drives 3 hours to go to the baseball game. It was in Springfield. So there's your stupidity right there. If you're going to go to every game, maybe you should move closer. 3 hours is a long time to be in a car. 6 hours, obviously, for, you know, a two-way trip. You do that a couple of times a week? I've almost, he knows who I am, so I can't do it, but I almost paid somebody to go up to him and say, why don't you move closer, just to see what he would say. So he's a dick, too. And now we got this third guy. And you know what women will tell you? And they're right, by the way. If you're over the age of 50, you should not be wearing a baseball jersey under any circumstances unless you are on a baseball or a softball team and that's your uniform. But if you're over the age of 50 and you're walking around with a Cardinal jersey on, I got news for you. You just don't look good. It's not that you look bad or stupid or anything like that. It's just that that time in your life has passed you by and you have to wear something else. You just don't look right. You might as well be wearing a leisure suit or skinny jeans or something like that. Well, this guy takes a step further. He wears an entire uniform to every game, along with a big cowboy hat. And he says, giddy up all the time. That's his answer to everything, giddy up. I just want to slap him until his teeth and his tongue aren't able to form those words anymore. So I know who he is. He knows who I am. We stay away from each other. It's better that way. Well, unbeknownst to me, he apparently follows me on social media. And the other day, there was some sort of meme that I threw up, and it was some sort of joke about the virus. And there's nothing worse than this, than you're making a joke, and it's clearly a joke, and everybody takes it as a joke, and it is intended to be a joke, and nobody in their right mind would look at it and take it seriously, because you know why? Because it's a fucking joke, and everybody knows it. There's always one guy who decides to ignore the fact that it was intended to be humorous all along and responds in some serious fashion. So he just ignores the fact that it was clearly intended to be a joke, and he takes it seriously and then responds that way. And this is what this guy does the other night. And in addition to that, puts up diametrically opposite information to the truth about immunity. One of the things that has been completely discounted by the CDC and by the doctors and the scientists, but has been embraced by the anti-vax crowd, the anti-Biden crowd, the pro-Trump crowd, whatever you want to call them. And so he starts loading up my comments page under this meme saying that you're much better off getting the coronavirus and then building up a natural immunity that way, which is, and again, this is him talking, which is much better for you than actually getting the vaccine, which is, of course, 100% wrong. So let's review. You've got like a 60-year-old guy walking around at baseball games in a full Cardinal uniform and a cowboy hat who now apparently is an expert in world pandemics and willing to share his insightful information on the comments page of my Facebook account. Well, dickhead, go looking for it in the dark abyss where all the deleted comments go after I delete them, because that's where yours is. See, you wear a Cardinal uniform to the game, wear a cowboy hat, and you have an anti-vax stance and all that stuff. So you're 0-4. Can you identify with that? Besides, what are you doing here? How come you're not in Dallas down in Dealey Plaza waiting for JFK and JFK Jr. to show up and announce that they're going to be Trump's running mate? Did you see the other day when you had these hundreds of people? They had the pictures of it. It was unbelievable. They're all standing around the grassy knoll in Dallas waiting for JFK to show up. And then when he didn't show up, somebody said, oh, well, you know what he's going to do? He's actually going to come on stage with the Stones tonight in Dallas. So that's where he's going to be. That's where. So let's all run over there. Mick and Keith are like, sure, come on. $350 a ticket. We'll take it. Line up right here. Sucker born every day. Oh, where's the story about this school teacher? I got to find this. Hold on. What the hell did I do with this? Oh, in the meantime, this Henry Ruggs III, this football player who was involved in a high speed something or other. He was just out and said, I just want to see how fast I can go in this car. And so they clocked him at 150 miles an hour before his sports car slammed into the rear of a vehicle that burned and killed everybody in the car. 150 miles an hour. And by the way, you know, so many of us had this really flowery image of Jim Edmonds because we liked the way he played baseball and he gave us lots of thrills and he was a really good looking guy and everything like that. And then you find out he's a sexual freak, got the 6-foot blonde who's a knockout, is crazy about him, so crazy about him that he goes to her one day and says, I'd like a threesome. So get a girlfriend and bring her over. And, you know, I don't have any girlfriends who would be interested in doing it. And they go, oh, it's funny you should say that, because our nanny, our babysitter, whatever you want to call her, I think she'd be into it. So let's all get together. And, of course, the next thing you know, he runs off with a babysitter. Dude, why do you get married if you're going to do that? If you're going to do that, then stay single. You get all that stuff out of your system. All of us did. All of us guys did that. You get all that stuff. You get all this stuff on your sexual bucket list. You do it all. And then, you know, and then after a while, something sort of happens in your brain where you're like, this is fun and everything, but it's sort of giving me maybe a little bit of an empty feeling. And so you find somebody who adores you and you dig her. And so you figure, okay, well, they always use that term, settle down. And maybe that's the problem. It's like, that's maybe what we shouldn't call this. Make it more, come up with a more attractive name, because settling down sounds like, well, it sounds like you're settling down and nobody likes that feeling. Nobody likes being told, oh, you're going to settle down, huh? It's like, no, I'm not settling down. I'm wild and I'm free and I, and then a couple of kids come along and you know the rest of the story. I will tell you this, though, he has turned out an absolutely sensational color guy on the broadcasts on the Cardinal games. I have learned more about baseball in the last, 4 years since Edmonds has been in the booth, probably than I think I learned my entire life. You want to learn about baseball, listen to Jim Edmonds, okay? You just have to sort of forget about the fact that he might not be exactly what we all thought he was, and just enjoy the game. But I will tell you this, that Edmonds was interviewed a couple of years ago, and they asked him, I think it was it the five questions thing with Cusumano? It may have been. I'll have to call Frank and see if he remembers this. But he asked him, what's the, Edmonds is into fast cars, you know, fast women too, but fast cars. And I believe that was when he told Cusumano that he once, on the streets of St. Louis, by the way, presumably like 70 or 40, whatever it is, he took it up to, I think he said, 150 miles an hour. It might have been 130. I don't know, but I know. I remember when he said it, I was like, holy shit, are you kidding me? On the streets of St. Louis, you went 130? You know, that's interesting, too, because when Alan Barklage, the legendary helicopter pilot, he was part of our show for years, and I remember asking him a question, if you could just do anything you wanted, what would it be? We sort of polled, you know, everybody who was in the studio part of the show, and people said, oh, it'd be great to eat anything you want, not gain weight. I think I said, if I could get my back fixed, if I could just, you know, because I'm in pain every single day, and if they could come up with some way to make the pain go away, that would be the thing that, and then somebody wanted to have sex with Cindy Crawford, and Alan said, I would just like to be able to drive as fast as I wanted anywhere on the streets of St. Louis. Not endangering anybody or anything like that. Maybe you do it at like, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning right after the sun comes up and you just crank it to 150 miles an hour and drive along the streets of St. Louis. So apparently this is something that obviously a guy thing, but you go that speed like this goofy football player, you go 150 miles an hour and then you kill a couple of people. Yeah, that's when the whole thing sort of, the whole idea breaks down a little bit. I am absolutely not an adrenaline junkie who needs stuff like that. But a few years back, I had a Mercedes-Benz 560 SL ragtop convertible. I had the top down, and I was coming back to St. Louis on a Saturday evening and coming south from Chicago down 55, and there was nobody on the road. I mean, I don't know what the deal was. There was nobody on the road. And, you know, there are stretches of 55 where I swear to God, you can see for 10 miles. I couldn't even tell you how many times I've been up and down this stretch of 55 in the 37 years since I moved to St. Louis, you know, back and forth to Chicago all the time. And you sort of know to be careful about 30 miles before you hit Springfield, Illinois, because, you know, the state troopers are out there. And there's a couple of other speed traps and places where cops will hide. And you're just zipping along, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit, you know, they got me. So you got to know where all those places are. But there are definitely stretches of 55 where you can see so far on the flatlands of central Illinois that if you wanted to do something like that, you could. And I was like, okay, I just want to know what this feels like, okay? I want to know what it feels like. And what I'm going to tell the story in reverse a little bit. The thing that you notice when you're going that fast, and I think I went to, I don't know, like maybe 115 on a flat, straight stretch of I-55. And the first thing that you notice is that your speed basically eliminates any sort of cushion, any sort of margin for error. And I didn't like that feeling at all. You know, if you hit a rock or a bump in the pavement, even if you're going 70, you can recover from something like that. You're going 115, your margin of error just goes right out the window with everything else, by the way. But that's the thing about me. You know, I can do something unusual, I guess you would say. I can do it one time. Like, I would be one of those guys, I've never jumped out of an airplane, but if I did, I would do it one time, and then that would be it. I don't need it anymore. 1988, St. Patrick's Day, got my threesome in. All right? It was fantastic. One was an 8, one was a 9. So I did a lot better, you know, because guys want that threesome, like in college or when they're young adults, they want it so badly that they will end up settling for a couple of real skanks just to be able to get that threesome in. You got to have that, okay? That's one of those things. You got to get that off your bucket list or it'll drive you crazy. But I did it, and I don't really have any desire to do it again. And this has nothing to do with whether or not I'm married. It's just the desire is satisfied. You move on to something else. Because the other stuff on my bucket list was significantly less dangerous. I wanted to see where JFK was shot. So when we lived in Texas, we drove up to Dallas and, you know, took the tour and everything like that. I wanted to go to the NASA Mission Control Center in Houston. Did that. Been to the Field of Dreams a couple of times in Dyersville, Iowa. I still got a couple left. But I'm thinking about this story that is coming out of where? Orlando, Florida. I think by now everybody is familiar with this outfit called OnlyFans. They made news a couple of months ago over the summer because basically what you do is you get online, you open an account, and then you can put your homemade porn. And when I say porn, it could be just, you know, twerking. You could be nude, you could be semi-nude, you could be doing sexual things, you could be implying sexual things. But the way the thing works is you have to subscribe to certain people. I have one friend who is on this, and she's making really good money doing it. She looks fantastic, and she has just chosen to do this. And she's not a whore, she's not a skank, she's just a tall, beautiful blonde from Sunset Hills who just had this why the fuck not attitude about things. To Florida we go. Orlando, Victoria Treece, T-R-I-E-C-E, has two children ages 5 and 10 at Sand Lake Elementary in Orange County. She's been volunteering for 5 years. Volunteering, keep that in mind. She's showing up and giving her time, and they're not even paying her. Keep that in mind. She was told 2 weeks ago she could no longer donate her time or spend more time on campus with the kids. She was told her occupation, working in the adult entertainment industry, was the reason why. Here's her quote. Nobody has the right to judge what other people do for a living. I feel judged and so isolated. She has a private subscription page on the site OnlyFans. Oh, and by the way, she's a knockout. This is how she earns a living. So somebody sent images from that site to school administrators, leading to her dismissal. Her attorney notified the district they intend to sue for $1 million. Oh, and by the way, when you volunteer for the school district, at no point on the application do they ask you what your occupation is. And she used to chaperone field trips and just really help out with school. And again, didn't ask for any money, didn't get any money. So my question is this. Would it not be true that somebody connected to the school district had to have been trolling around on the OnlyFans website to have been in a position to reveal this information and then send it to the school district? So shouldn't the school district actually be more concerned, or at least equally concerned, about that person as they are with the person who is being featured in the video? Somebody was poking around on OnlyFans, and that's how this whole thing started. But I will tell you this, as soon as I'm done with this podcast today, I'm going to OnlyFans because I would like to see this girl's work, because the video I am here from the news story. See, unfortunately, you get on these sites, and the last people in the world you'd ever want to see naked or engaging in sexual activity are usually the ones who are featured. This gal looks like the girl next door, blonde, pretty, and oh, look, we're out of time. So I guess I'll be doing this even sooner than I thought. Okay, well, you have a good weekend, too. J.C. Corcoran podcast for the 5th of November is in the can. Have a great weekend. Back on Monday here at jcontheline.com. In the meantime, you can binge listen over the weekend here at the website because we archive everything. You may email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook is The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We thank our technical wizard, Everett Marshall. And we'll talk to you on Monday. In the meantime, we've eaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
27 people were injured this week after they were told to spring ahead and fall back.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.